KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, also being heard now so proudly in Smith and Mason Valley on 92.3 FM. We've got all your subjects you want to talk about live and local for all of Northern Nevada, or you can shoot me an email at 991fmtalk.com. Stream the show and check out the podcast too, and they've all been updated. They're all there at 991fmtalk.com. Talk lines are open at 884-9910 if you'd like to call in a question and talk to David Carter, who is a resigned member just 2 weeks ago from the Nevada State Board of Education, which you probably haven't heard about unless you've been listening to this station, because nobody else, well, except for one reporter from Las Vegas. Why are we not hearing that somebody resigned from the State Board of Education? You have to remember, we have our Board of Trustees here for the counties, but the next step is the State Board of Education. These are the liaisons with the legislature who are putting together the rules that the legislature passes that, you know, people get up in arms about. It's the state board that has to put those all together and then filter them down to the district. So this is the guy to talk to. David, thank you so much for coming in and spending this time with me before you head off to a new life. And I hope you continue to be in education and a great watchdog for those lucky people in South Carolina now.
I plan on at least keeping track, and whether I actually run for office, I don't know. But I'll be keeping involved in the boards. And the nice thing about living in a capital is I can participate in attending board meetings of the state board.
Yeah. And please do not get rid of your Facebook page. Make sure you keep us all as friends so we know what's going on. And you know what's going on here, yeah, too. I love your T-shirt, Common Core, with that big old circle and line through it. StopCommonCoreNevada.com. I had an interesting email the other day because I started talking about this protest that we're having on August 12th at the Believe sign. And one of the things that I'd mentioned, are you done with Common Core? Are you, you know, sick about the SHARE program? Or blah, 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 blah. Are you unhappy with what the district and what the state is doing? Well, then show your voice by using your money, because that's what the school districts are relying on, is your money.
And as part of that, and John Eppolito talks about this a lot, is the SBAC testing and what they keep of that and how long it's going to be kept available, not just when the kids graduate, but it can be part of a decision on future jobs. Somewhere they would have access to that data.
You know, that's really scary. Gets me is that when John Eppolito came out with all this, because I listen to what people say in the media behind the scenes, and it's like they thought John was just a joke. It's like, why is this guy going after this? And I tell you, people in the media just don't get it. They really don't. And you know, I think he was kind of shut down at different times, that it's like, oh, no, don't interview him. He, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's on some personal crusade. And it's like, yeah, he's on a crusade to protect everybody's kids and make a difference for Nevada. And actually, I believe he's going to be one of our speakers there. So if you want to find out more, just contact QOL-Reno.org. But when we talk about going out and doing things like that and letting our voice be heard, we've got to let it be heard at the legislature as well, don't we?
Yes. And with this public protest, if you don't get any stations involved, I mean, obviously you'll have probably some from 99.1, but if no one else shows up, then it's not going to get reported and people will just ignore it.
Yeah.
And then it becomes easy for the legislature to ignore it, mm-hmm, because it's not in front of the public.
Parents have to use their voices, and they and like you pointed out to me earlier, those voices fall on deaf ears when you're at these board meetings. You know, they have their agenda, they're going through, they're being polite and listening and smiling, and but it's a deaf ear. But when you use your money, when you don't have your child at school on the first day of school, that's going to make an impact. Because all those numbers are going to be calculated and sent to the state, and they're going to stop and say, hey, what's the problem here? You guys are missing, you know, 200-300 students.
Yeah. And like you say, money talks. As when I was in school administration, we always talked about, as we were working on the budget, BIS, butts in seats, was how we got our money. And if you don't have those in your seats, you're not going to get the money.
Something I feel is so important for people to understand from our last segment that I want to bring forward, and if you weren't with us, you can find it on the podcast as well, is the fact that publishers are now putting out textbooks with the philosophy, ideology, whatever you want to call it, of the California education system. That textbooks in the future will actually have in them, might even have in them now, that communism is the way, is a blessing. These cop killers are heroes. Capitalism is racist. That's what the textbooks are going to be saying. Look at your kids' textbooks. Read through them. Read through the chapters. You don't have to read it word for word. Flip through and see what they're saying, because your kids are being educated with a California ideology that everybody I know is fighting against.
Well, and if we remember, I was not old enough to vote when Reagan ran for governor of California. California had him, he had Duke Majan, we had several other conservative, fairly conservative governors. And how did we become what they are today? I think a large part of it was education and socialist teachers or presenting their views, which influenced a whole generation, which that's how you have the Democrats running for president now. The Democratic Party, so many of them are professing socialist Marxist views, because that's what we have for a generation plus now.
Yeah, because in the 60s and 70s, it was those radical professors, or maybe not even the professors, it was the teaching assistants, because the professors were off writing books. But those, you know, we knew, and we have known for a long time, that we lost the universities. Now universities are all about safe spaces and controlling the way you talk and the way you think, which to me is just a violation of the First Amendment all the way down the line. But they knew they had to do something different, and they had to start going younger and younger, so to the high schools. And now we're down into elementary. So these textbooks that are coming out now are going to be going into to every grade.
Eventually.
Yeah.
And it's sad when you teach. I mean, I don't have problem teaching Marxism, but if I want it taught comparatively, what may be good and bad, what may be good and bad about capitalism, and not from the teacher's standpoint, but from a more analytical standpoint. Because there's things that in capitalism that are bad, but there's a lot more, I feel, bad in Marxism and in socialism, because we're a nation that was built on individualism, and socialism takes that away and makes the party, makes the whole more important than the individual.
Well, I mean, a good example of that is Jeff Bezos. You know, he came up with something that people loved. He created Amazon. Here you go. We're going to bring in all these different businesses. We're going to bring in all these different products, even from people that are just doing business in their garages. And we're going to give you access to them. We're going to give you discounts. There it goes. Amazon takes off because Al Gore inventing the internet, now I can sit on my butt at home and order anything I want. The buy local argument against doing that, it's never going to work, because you find things cheaper. People are going for the cheapest price. And
even with shipping and
even with shipping and taxes, it's still cheaper because then you buy into the primes and you get free shipping and blah, blah, blah. But here's the problem with capitalism is he created something that all of us wanted, but then we all got pissed off that he is this billionaire and he gets to go out and do whatever he wants.
Well, it's the same thing like, excuse me for interrupting, but the same thing like with Walmart.
Yeah.
What did Walmart do? It put more things into one store in one location, and people liked it.
Yeah.
It destroyed a lot of your local companies, your mom and pop stores.
But not until it went away from that made in the USA, mantra that they first started with. They went with, we're just going to give you the cheapest things that we can find in one location. And people ate it up. And now people are upset with the way that, the walls spend their money. Mm-hmm. And that's a personal choice once you become a billionaire. If you want to be a jerk and go out and rent your yachts and have parties and, that's a character thing. If you become a millionaire or a billionaire and you decide to give back to your community and you decide to, help the schools and do these programs, that's great. That is capitalism at its best. But then people are so upset with that capitalism that, he's not spending money on us, or a big amount of money on us, that people are jerks. We get upset. And then legislators just come in like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and say, well, then we'll just take it. We'll just take it away and we'll give it to the people, which is just infuriating. So this is what kids are going to be taught from the first moment that they get a textbook. Okay? How do you feel about that? 884-9910. If you've got a question for David Carter before he takes off out of the great state of Nevada it's South Carolina. I've always loved the Carolinas myself because I used to live in Virginia Beach. But, that's a whole different lifestyle out there. We are Nevadans. I'm starting to think about it now, aren't you, David? KKFD, we'll be right back after this break with more from David Carter, the resigned member of the Nevada State Board of Education. Did you hear a member resigned a couple of weeks ago? No? Okay. 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Oh, if you could be sharing the stories that I'm getting right now with David Carter, the resigned member of the State Board of Education, who is leaving Nevada because of the cost of living here. If you would like to ask him a question, it's really easy. 884-9910. I love that question that the lady asked last time that you were on is, can I pull my kids out of let's see, she asked about the Common Core at the time. It's like, yeah, well, it doesn't make it, schools don't make it seem that way. But, yeah, you can.
Yeah, Common Core is kind of the modus operandi for the school districts, but that doesn't apply to charters. Charters, as long as they meet certain educational requirements, they can teach their own methods. And there's some great ones out there. Massachusetts right now is one of the best in the nation. And I think it was the 2015 legislature that they came and talked to them when we were talking about whether we would stay with Common Core or whether we'd do something else. And Massachusetts offered their curriculum for free. We would have to pay for printing and downloading costs and that, but the actual syllabus was free.
Wow.
And they're traditionally one of the best. And this year I think ranked the best. They're never lower than number five. And why not use something from a top school district or state when you're trying to improve the education of your own students?
And isn't that where MIT? Isn't that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
So, where are so many engineers and math people coming from MIT, you'd think Massachusetts has a good plan. 884-9910. Let's talk about that, because I babbled off in another direction in the last segment. And let's go back to Common Core. We start talking about John Ippolito and the protest. I had an email, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the lady said, I thought we don't have Common Core anymore. But I think what it was is on the national stage, they said it's up to the schools. And Nevada voted to keep it.
Yes. Okay. It is part of ESSA, which is Every Student Succeeds Act, which replaced
No Child Left Behind,
which is actually under what Common Core got developed. And, you know, the problem with that is you get guidelines that say you have to have so many students proficient by such and such a time. Well, we can make everyone proficient. You just lower
the
standards.
Oh! Didn't Washoe County School District do that for graduation rates? Just saying, had to make those look good. Yeah, I saw my little sister doing Common Core in front of me, and I'm terrible at math. I suck at it, and I had my numbers figured out twice as fast as she did. So I don't even understand Common Core.
Like I've said before, I'm an accountant, and I don't understand it. And I, dealt with numbers my whole life, and it does not make sense. And you have that same philosophy going into science and going, there's Common Core is not just math. It's science. It's other areas.
Everything is math. Math is numbers are the universal language. It's the universal, train of thought that we need. And if kids are being messed up in this to start with, China and Japan and the Asian kids who are already so far ahead, they're not doing Common Core.
Well, that's one reason why some of these schools, they're fighting, because schools are trying to maintain a certain level of diversity, and it's hard to do that when you accept based on points, and the Asian kids have so many points more than anyone else on all the testing, on all the grades, on what they do outside of home to supplement their education, that you get extra points on your grade point average for doing that now.
So is it safe to say that this is a plot from the Chinese to dumb our kids down in math and science so they can get into the universities?
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
But it wouldn't.
Darn it.
It wouldn't be a bad idea. I mean, from their standpoint.
Obviously, it's working. So, that is the thing. I don't know how people, is it the media that is confusing people? Is it the way it's presented? But yes, the kids here are still being taught by Common Core methods.
Well, you have, as far as the media goes, Walter Cronkite was an out-and-out liberal. Mm-hmm. But throughout his career, with very few exceptions, he didn't really get that when he presented the news. He presented the news.
Yes.
Now, so many in all the major stations, including cable news, they don't present the news. They present their views of the news.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for saying that, so I didn't have to. Yeah, no, you see it every night on the nightly news, whether it's local news or whether it's what you read in the paper, whether it's what you hear on the radio. I am not a news person. I am not a reporter. I am a talk show host. And when you come into the Monica Jay Show, when you come into this room, you know that it is the views of not only mine, but of my listeners. So, but I accept everybody. Whoever wants to call, these phone lines, 884-9910, it does not look at your number where you're calling from and say, oh, registered Democrat. Anybody can call. But when you're in the form of print, you print your story. When you're in the form of television news, you present what you have. You don't get people calling in and disputing what you were saying or trying to present another fact. So,
well, and there's a difference in each of the shows. As an example, Shepard Smith is supposed to be a reporter.
So is Chris Wallace.
Yeah, and Sean Hannity, obviously, is a talk show host. Mm-hmm. They're different. One has a legitimate right to present opinion. The other should not, unless he specifically says, this is my opinion and this is 5 minutes or whatever, 2 minutes that I'm going to present my views. Otherwise, he shouldn't be presenting his views.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Even though we are the home of Fox News, and we're going to take a Fox News break here right now. Yeah, we all know how we feel about Shepard. So there you have it. 884-9910. Before he takes off to South Carolina, if you'd like to ask a question of David Carter, please call. And just keep it here until we get back after these highlights from the news on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, your live and local FM talk show. The Monica Jay Show, right here for you and now being heard on 92.3 FM in Yerington and Smith Valley. Welcome to the party. You can also email me at 991fmtalk.com. Stream the show at 991fmtalk.com as well and download your podcast there. David Carter is my guest, and I so hate to you were always on my mind because we're friends on Facebook, and I knew you were with the State Board of Education. You were always on my mind to get you in here and talk, and I hate the fact that you're in here now and you're leaving us. You know, you resigned from the State Board. You can't afford to live in Nevada anymore, so you're moving to South Carolina. You know, it's true. We don't have a housing problem here. I look at all of the new apartments and houses being built in my area, and you know, they're proud to say starting in the low 200,000s, and it's like, yeah, what happened to starting in the low 100,000s just 10 years ago? We just don't afford people the chance to get in and just live a nice life.
Right. We lost our home when I got laid off from the district about 7 years ago and ended up, lost the home 8 years ago. And
in California?
In California, and then retired a year later. And so we moved up here. And so as a result, we really couldn't afford anything here other than renting. Where I'm buying, getting 1,300 square feet, 162,000, that house compares to about 350 or better here. Very small lot. You want a lot there for 500,000, you can get a nice house and a lot of lot.
Their lots are actually called land.
Yes. 500 will buy you a lot of house in South Carolina, unlike here.
I want to point out an email that I got from William the other day, and this just really struck a chord with me, and he's talking on about deteriorating at actually an astounding speed is our state of violence here. You know, we talk about gun violence, but there's all kinds of violence. There's laying your hands on someone. There's spitting on someone. There's verbally abusing people.
And what are they doing to the cops with the water? Throwing water on them.
And buckets. The guy was hit in the head with a bucket. I would have turned around except for there was water all over me and tased the guy personally. But we are really breaking down. Look, how do you feel when you see these videos of kids in classrooms verbally assaulting teachers and physically assaulting teachers, and these teachers can't do anything back to them?
Well, and I think that's part of what we've allowed as society, because now if you do something to that student, you're treated as a pariah. You can get sued. You can get fired, because that's one of the few things that actually can get you fired very quickly is reacting like that, whereas I don't remember ever having been hit with this, but when students were misbehaving, they could have been sent, when I was a kid, to the vice principal, and he had what they called the Board of Education, only it wasn't quite like the board that I was part of. And you could get swatted with that.
What happened to the yardstick and the swat on the knuckles, you know?
And I think that's part of it. It has become so that there is a lack, and maybe it's part of what's happening at some of the homes too, a lack of discipline. And if you're not disciplined, then you have a feeling you can do whatever you want, and that becomes part of society. That's why I think a lot of these folks with Antifa, that no one has done anything.
The lack of consequences.
Lack of consequences.
Okay. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 if you've got a question for David Carter. We've got Kevin on the line. Hi, Kevin. What would you like to talk about?
Oh, yes. Good morning. Very interesting show. And before I forget, I want to wish your guest there good luck in his new home and things like that.
Thank you.
My question is, I keep hearing on your news that there was a data breach at the Washoe County school system, and I just wonder now, are they going to notify parents as to which students have been affected or what information's been given out on the kids?
Well, I don't know how much information was given out, but in the article in the Gazette Journal today, it does say they were notified Wednesday that morning that a contractor with the district had a data security incident, and it affected.
Yeah, that incident is called a breach. That means the information's out there.
And, you know, it said also some staff names and emails were part of that, and they didn't go into a lot of detail about what they think it affected names and birth dates, and that's it. But if that's what they think at this point. And
yeah, but when you talk to, I have a wonderful cybersecurity expert, even Ira Hansen, not Ira, yeah, Ira Victor, all these names that are the similar, just your name and birthday, that's a big deal.
It is, because every time I call to use my credit card, what do they ask for? First thing after the name is my birthday.
Is your birthday, yeah. Kevin, thank you for the call. That was great. 100, and if you missed it, 114,000 students from 2001 to 2016. And that's a lot of students. And just, you know, there you go. Combine that with the Capital Ones and the Targets, and we're given this information that is supposed to be secure to people that we're trusting, and it's just not. We're more worried with sex education rather than, you know, security actually for our kids. Let's go back to the phone lines and check in with Cecil? Cecilia, sorry about that, Cecilia.
Yeah, that's okay.
What would you like to ask?
Well, I wanted to, first of all, wish Mr. Carter all the best. I have been thinking myself of moving back to the Carolinas. I have a sister in North Carolina and one who used to live in South Carolina. But more importantly, I wanted to not only wish him well, I really have thought of moving because of the expense of living where I'm living right now. And I've been here for about 15 or 16 years. The thing I wanted to mention, though, is when you get back there, would you please help Senator Lindsey Graham's being able to get reelected? That's another reason I thought of moving back to the Carolinas, at least, because I spent most of my life as a military dependent growing up in Quantico, Virginia, and up and down the East Coast, ultimately to Hawaii and Alaska. And as a military spouse of two former Air Force officers, one of them now is dead, I ultimately ended up not only Mrs. Alaska in 1984, but, and that's why my name is Suri, my nickname. And so if you could just make sure that Senator Lindsey Graham gets reelected, that would be great. And he also, I believe, is still part of the U.S. Air Force Reserve.
I think he is doing a lot of good things. The problem I have with him and others is after a certain point, you get in there so long. I would if he is the choice between the Republican and Democrat, he definitely has my support. Okay. My problem would be looking at possible folks coming up and replacing, because, again, I have a problem with some of these guys that have been there 100 years, it seems like.
And the ethics and morals and stuff like that? Is that part of your...
I'm sorry?
Is that part of your concern as well, that he may be part of those who think ethically and morally maybe the president should be impeached or whatever, just to make a point, and yet he'll still get elected, perhaps?
I do have a problem with some of those who have been less supportive of the president, especially when you're in his own party, and he ran on an agenda, and he's trying to put it through the Senate and the House.
We knew who we were voting for.
We knew who we were voting for. We knew his history, and yet exactly. He is having a lot of problems getting his agenda through because of these never-Trumpers.
Yeah.
And there are good conservatives that are never-Trumpers.
And that's my big problem for the fact that he's open. We know about his indiscretions. It's all of those other ones that are hiding their indiscretions, and they don't want them to come out. That's
really
just
point,
BS at the top of it.
Yeah, and you know,
Cecilia,
I have actually spent so much time sticking with Fox News that I hear most of their opinions, and therefore I have missed a lot of what you're talking about. I've had the undercurrent feeling, but at the same time, I liked him so well because I knew his story, having taken care of his siblings and his parents died a tragic death, et cetera, et cetera. But at any rate, what you're saying has also concerned me because I've kind of gotten the undercurrents, even though Fox News basically support all the Republicans as best they can. And I watch Fox News channel almost exclusively when I'm looking for news. But thank you for reminding me that there are those never-Trumpers that that do concern me. So both right
Cecilia,
and wrong.
No, we're always to the right. Cecilia, thank you so much for the call. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll wrap up the show. Just 2 hours. That's all I ask. That's all I want from you. It's your live and local FM talk show, KKFT, now being heard on 92.3 FM in Smith and Basin Valley. It's 99.1 FM talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910. Doesn't matter if you're listening to KKFT, if you're listening to the stream on 991fmtalk.com, or you're listening to 92.3 FM in Yerington and Smith Valley. It's all the same number, and it's your talk. Right now, we're talking with David Carter, who just resigned from the State Board of Education. And you're sitting there smiling at me and knowing that you're going to have, you know, a better life. You'll be able to afford your retirement and move on. But you've seen the best and the worst of California, and you've seen the best and the worst of Nevada. Do you see, biggest saying out there, don't California my Nevada. Do you see the school system here in Nevada being controlled or taken over, or the mindset of what California is doing is, do you see that in our future? That's a yes or no, and be honest.
I see yes, unless people pay more attention. If they just go along and think everything's good, then we'll become more like California. If they become more involved and look at who is really running for assembly, for Senate, for school board, then the chances of Nevada not becoming like California completely become better. It depends on how involved each person becomes.
You've had to deal with the legislators from Clark County, from the school people in Clark County. I mean, because you're not just for Washoe County. You're sitting on the Board of Education, so you have to deal with the entire state.
Correct.
Is their mindset really that closed off and wonky for that, just that whole liberal agenda? And is the South lost?
I think part of it is because it is such a big district. It's like the fourth or fifth largest district in the country. That has a lot of power. I mean, when you speak, it's not like somebody from Douglas County speaking to a certain extent. Clark is the 8,000-pound gorilla, not the 800-pound gorilla.
Okay. Does Clark County School District needs to be broken up?
My personal opinion is that it should be broken up into districts by city, because
you have Henderson and...
Even here in Washoe, Sparks is a little bit different than Reno. So I would have no problem with dividing its state into two districts. Now, I wouldn't have a problem if the districts wanted to commingle and have like one accounting department, for example. But for curriculum and those kind of things and the oversight of the different schools, I think it's more important to have a separate district for each of those communities. So
rather
that
than
locals can buy into their own community.
Rather than 5 or 6 or 10 deputy superintendents for each, you know, you can just have a school. So could we legitimately, with looking at the numbers, have a Washoe County school district, have a Reno school district, and a Sparks school district? Could we have three of them?
From my standpoint, I couldn't see why not.
Okay.
You know, getting that past the legislature is another thing. But, you know, California, you have Rancho Cucamonga had 6 school districts, a town of 100,000 people, 6 school districts. Now, that I think is a little ridiculous. That's one community, so you could have 1 school district, but 6 elementary districts. But then you have the other side where you have Clark County, where you have all those communities in one school district.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I believe in a more happy medium.
Mm-hmm.
Districts can be too large, but they can also be too small.
Is there any way to go around the school districts and the legislature and things like that and do things by ballot?
Haven't spent a lot of time reviewing that, so I don't know whether that is a possibility here in Nevada, and whether it'd be possible through the initiative process or not.
Okay. We got to do something. We have got to do something before this becomes, I don't know, some of the terms that Bernie Sanders, he didn't get called on the carpet for it, but, you know, people have been using for Baltimore and things like that, because it's our little ones. It's the kindergarten, the first, the second, the third grade, that we know these little minds are sponges. And if an authority figure, if an adult tells them that capitalism is racist, which, don't think I'm making this up, people, you're going to see this in the textbooks coming out that are being produced in California, then they believe that from a young age. And it's hard to turn that mindset around.
Well, and that's how you get an AOC and some of those others. That's what they were taught in school, so that's what they believe. Whether they were taught correctly or not is up for discussion, but...
So I only have a minute left, and that is, you know, I want to remind everybody, even David thinks that our protest on Monday, August 12th, the first day of school, to keep your kids out of school that day, come to the Believe sign in the city of Reno. Even David believes that that's a good idea, because guess what? Money talks. And even for one day, having your child out of school sends a powerful message. But David, I want to take this last minute here and say thank you so much for your service to not only the Washoe County School District, but to the state of Nevada. I mean, coming here from California and deciding to retire here and say, wait a minute, you guys are following the same path of that place I just left, and this is a big mistake. Thank you for the time that you were here fighting for us and fighting for the kids.
Thank you. It was my privilege. I wish it could have been longer. If I could afford to live here, I would have stayed here for, I was planning at least one more term. But I wish you Nevadans success in controlling the oversight.
This is what we do. We drive good people out. David Carter, thank you so much to you and your wife and your family. Safe journey, and make sure you keep that Facebook page. KKFT, it's the Monica Jay Show, your live and local FM talk show, talk station 10 to noon every day. I'll catch you tomorrow on